Mahabharata, Chapter 39, The Battle at Virata. In his chariot, only a half mile from the Kurus, Arjuna instructed the prince to halt while he established the enemy's position. Bhumanjaya gazed in amazement at the army before them. "Who are these heroes who resemble mountains in the midst of a mighty ocean?" he asked. "The one with the emblem of a golden water pot on his flagstaff is Drona," Arjuna replied. "I always worship him. You should circumambulate his chariot, and I will strike him only if he first attacks me, for such is the duty of Kshatriyas." Arjuna pointed to each of the leading chariots. "The hero clad in a coat of tiger skin on a chariot drawn by red horses is Kripa. Today I will show him how light I can be in the use of weapons." By his side, the warrior whose flag bears the sign of a bow is Ashvatthama. "He is my preceptor's son. He too is worthy of my respect." The one clad in golden mail, whose emblem is a serpent against a gold background, is Duryodhan. He always bears the Pandava's ill will. Immediately behind him is a hero, blazing like fire, with the emblem of a strong rope for binding elephants. That is the wicked-minded Karna. "Be careful when you approach him, for he always challenges me to fight." Arjuna pointed towards the chariot which stood just behind the four he had already named. "This great hero, whose flag is blue and emblazoned with a golden palmyra and five stars, who is shielded by a white umbrella, is Shantanu's son, Bhishma, our grandfather. Always treated with regal honor by the Kauravas, he follows Duryodhan. You should approach him last, for he will never harm me." After observing the army for some time, Arjuna told the prince to advance. As they moved off, he saw Duryodhan detach himself from the army and move toward the south, followed by half the troops. Arjuna ordered Bhumanjaya to follow him. "I will engage with Duryodhan, for if he is overpowered, then our purpose will be accomplished." Arjuna then sent arrows toward his three elders, who faced him on the battlefield. Kripa, observing Arjuna's chariot change direction, immediately understood his intention. "Quickly move to intercept the Pandava," he shouted. "What will we do with the Matsya's vast wealth if Duryodhan were to sink like a holed boat in the Partha water?" Arjuna released hundreds of thousands of arrows, and they covered the Kuru forces like a swarm of locusts. The warriors could not see anything, and they became confused. Being unable even to flee, they praised Arjuna's prowess. The earth and sky resounded with the twang of the Gandiva and the blast of Arjuna's conch shell. Virata's son maneuvered the chariot dexterously and cut off Duryodhan, preventing him from escaping with the cows. As Arjuna closed on Duryodhan, the cows began to run back toward the city. Duryodhan quickly came back to the side of the other Kuru leaders. After saving the Matsya cows, Arjuna said, "Let us leave the cowardly Duryodhan for now. He has fled for his life. I know the wretched Karna desires to fight me, even as one elephant fights with another. Seek him out, O prince. I will curb his pride. He has grown insolent due to the protection Duryodhan has afforded him." The prince swung the chariot around and raced into the center of the battlefield, from where he could see all the leading Kurus. Four of Duryodhan's brothers came forward and confronted Arjuna. They sent their arrows toward him in steady waves, but Bhumanjaya avoided the falling shafts by his skillful driving. At the same time, Arjuna shot his own blazing arrows, which covered the Kaurava chariots. The Pandava, remembering Bhima's vow to kill all of Dhritarashtra's sons, avoided slaying any of them. Other mighty warriors rushed at Arjuna, roaring and releasing showers of weapons. One, a king named Shachuntapa, assailed him with such force that he checked the movement of his chariot. Arjuna disappeared beneath a hail of arrows as Shachuntapa fought with fury. Wounded by the assault, Arjuna blazed up in anger. He drew the Gandiva back to his ear and fired five deadly arrows that killed Shantrupa's four horses and his charioteer. With 10 more straight-flying shafts, he tore off the king's armor, along with his arms and head. Shachantapa fell to the earth like a mountain peak, struck down by a thunderbolt. Arjuna turned toward the other Kuru fighters who were closing in on him. He seemed to be dancing in his chariot as he released his gold-plumed arrows. Long lines of shafts were seen to fly from Arjuna in all directions. As he moved among the Kuru army, he appeared like a forest fire consuming dry wood at the end of summer. The battlefield presented a dreadful scene, with the mangled bodies of warriors and animals strewn about. Elephants screamed and horses whined in terror. The roars of the fighters and the blast of conch shells and trumpets added to the clamor. Above all these sounds rose Hanuman's terrible cries from Arjuna's standard. As Arjuna's chariot approached Karna, Arjuna was attacked by Karna's brother. Arjuna at once killed his horses, and with a crescent-tipped arrow beheaded the warrior right in front of Karna. Seeing his brother fall like a palm tree cut at its root, Karna was infuriated. He rushed at the Pandava with a great shout. With 12 arrows, he wounded both Arjuna and Bhumanjaya, as well as all of his horses. Arjuna assailed Karna with full force, like Garuda falling upon a serpent. The other Kurus, seeing an encounter about to take place between the two heroes, stood back to watch. Arjuna sent a thick shower of arrows toward Karna, but Karna baffled the shafts with his own. He counterattacked Arjuna with thousands of arrows. With his bright armor and flashing steel arrows, Karna seemed like a fire sending forth showers of sparks. Seeing Karna holding Arjuna off, the other Kuru fighters cheered him on. They clapped their hands and blew their conches. Arjuna could not tolerate hearing such praise, and he fought with redoubled strength. Both combatants sent hundreds of thousands of arrows at each other. To those watching, it seemed like the sun and moon were contending behind black clouds. Karna repeatedly attempted to kill Arjuna's horses and charioteer, but the Pandava checked Karna's arrows with his own every time. The two fighters fired arrows with blinding speed, their hands hardly visible as they worked their bows. Karna sent a non-stop stream of shafts that resembled the sun's shining rays on earth. Gradually, however, Arjuna gained an edge over his opponent. While checking Karna's arrows, he began to pierce him all over his body. With fleet arrows, he wounded Karna in the arms, thighs, breast, and head. Without his natural coat of impenetrable armor, Karna was hurt badly by Arjuna's attack. Finally, he turned away from the fight and fled like one elephant defeated by another. When Karna retreated, the other Kurus, headed by Duryodhan, came to attack Arjuna. Without flagging, Arjuna cheerfully met their attack. He displayed various celestial weapons and filled the entire sky with arrows. No part of the battlefield occupied by the Kurus was visible as Arjuna's arrows rained down. It was impossible to even look at the Pandava in his anger. He seemed like the fire at the end of the cosmic manifestation. As Arjuna fought like a superhuman being, he created havoc among his foes. His arrows only fell where they were aimed, and his bow was always bent into a circle. The Kuru army fell back in terror, the soldiers worshipping Arjuna in their minds. Horses and elephants that were not slain ran in all directions. Smashed chariots lay everywhere, with the bodies of their drivers and warriors lying prostrate nearby. In the sky, the gods, Gandharvas, Siddhas, and Rishis, assembled to watch Arjuna fight. The fragrance of their celestial garlands spread across the battlefield, as if the trees had blossomed in spring. Their clothes, ornaments, and shining conveyances lit up the region with a brilliant luster. The sky was ablaze. It was beautiful to behold. In the midst of all the celestials stood Indra, looking with affection at his son. Arjuna looked around at the routed army and saw Drona. Feeling affection for his teacher, he ordered Virata's son to drive the chariot toward him. O Prince, Drona is always worthy of my worship. In intelligence he resembles Shukra, the guru of the demons. and in his knowledge of morality he is no less than Brihaspati. He has studied all the Vedas, and the science of archery resides within him. He is always ornamented by forgiveness, self-control, truthfulness, and compassion. I desire to fight with him, so advance with caution. The prince urged the horses on, and Arjuna blew his conch. Drona saw him coming and took out his own conch, giving it a mighty blast. The conches sounded together like a thousand trumpets. Drona's red horses rose up and drew his chariot quickly forward. Seeing his preceptor approach, Arjuna was joyful. Placing his bow by his side, he called out, "O gentle one, we have completed our term of exile in the forest and now wish to exact our revenge. You should not be angry with us. O irrepressible hero, I will not strike you unless you attack first." Drona smiled at his favorite disciple. Without replying, he raised his gold-plated bow and discharged more than 20 shafts. Arjuna instantly raised his own bow and countered his arrows with astonishing speed. Drona covered Arjuna's chariot on all sides with thousands of arrows. Bhumanjaya swiftly turned the chariot and dropped away from Drona as Arjuna dexterously cut down his arrows. Both fighters invoked celestial weapons and spread a network of arrows that amazed the watching Kuru soldiers. Other weapons began to appear on the battlefield as the two combatants chanted mantras sacred to various deities. Firebrands and blazing discuses were hurled from Drona's bow, but Arjuna struck them all down. He sent an even greater number of long-shafted arrows toward his preceptor. Drona, smiling all the while, cut down all those arrows in mid-flight. The Kurus cheered again and again as they witnessed the prowess of both guru and disciple, and they wondered at the harshness of a kshatriya's duty that impelled the two to fight one another. Even as he fought with Drona, Arjuna kept up his attack on the Kuru army. His arrows descended on them like lightning bolts. As the fierce razor-headed shafts struck horses, elephants, and soldiers, they made a sound resembling a hard downpour of hailstones. The battlefield was strewn with arms still clutching weapons and heads adorned with helmets. Golden armor and pieces of shattered chariots littered the ground. The screams of terrified soldiers filled the air as Arjuna maintained his assault. Feeling affection for his disciple, Drona displayed only some of his power. He held off Arjuna's attack on himself and sent a barrage of golden-feathered arrows back at him. His shafts traveled toward Arjuna in rows, their feathers touching. Arjuna responded by releasing so many arrows that Drona and his chariot became invisible. Those observing Arjuna could not discern any interval between his taking up arrows and placing them on his bow and then firing them. Even Indra, watching from the heavens, was wonderstruck. Drona was totally enveloped in a thick mass of arrows that fell continuously upon him. Seeing this, the Kurus cried out, "Alas!" Ashvatthama was infuriated, and he rushed at Arjuna, bellowing out a challenge. The Pandava turned toward him and offered Drona a chance to retreat. Ashvatthama, highly skilled in battle, sent an arrow that cut Arjuna's ever-twanging bowstring. The deities in the sky, beholding this superhuman feat, exclaimed, "Well done! Bravo!" Ashvatthama succeeded in wounding Arjuna with a number of sharp-pointed shafts decked with conch feathers. Arjuna laughed and restrung his bow. A furious fight ensued between the disciple and the son of Drona, which made the hairs of the heroes who were watching stand erect. It resembled a clash between two maddened elephants. They struck one another with burning arrows that looked like serpents hissing through the air. But Ashvatthama's arrows quickly became exhausted as Arjuna fought on, his own supply being inexhaustible by the fire god's boon. As Ashvatthama withdrew from the fight, Karna returned and twanged his bowstring with a crash like thunder. Arjuna gazed at him with coppery red eyes. Hoping to kill him, He fired thousands of arrows in his direction, and then he called out, "O Karna, the time has come for you to make good on your boastful words. Many times you have vainly stated that there are none equal to you in battle. Fighting with me today, you will know your own strength, and you will never again disregard others. Without ever considering piety, you have given vent to many harsh words. Try your best to make good those insults you offered me in the assembly. You cannot defeat me. Now reap the fruit of your insult to Draupadi. Only virtue restrained me that day from exacting a terrible vengeance. Today you will feel the force of my restrained anger, held in check these last 13 years. Fight, O sinful one, and let all the Kurus watch you perish." Karna sneered. "Prove yourself in battle, Partha. The world knows that your words exceed your deeds. As a result of your weakness and inability, the Kauravas have forced you to suffer. Do not bother to make excuses. Now we will all see your power when I strike you with my irresistible weapons. Even if Indra himself came to fight on your behalf, you would not escape." Arjuna was derisive. "You have always fled from me, and thus you still live to utter these empty words. Even today, when you saw your brother slain, you fled. What power were you showing then?" Bending the Gandiva into a semicircle, Arjuna quickly fired dozens of armor-piercing arrows that shone like fire. Karna delightedly received those shafts with his own, intercepting every one. Again a network of arrows spread out between the two fighters. Karna released searing shafts with unerring accuracy and pierced Arjuna's arms and hands. Unable to tolerate the attack, Arjuna cut Karna's bowstring with a crescent-headed arrow. Karna replied with a number of shafts that made Arjuna lose hold of the Gandiva. Quickly regaining his composure, Arjuna sent razor-headed shafts at Karna, which cut his bow to pieces. Karna took up a fresh bow and released a fierce steel arrow, resembling a lance, but Arjuna struck it down, even as it left Karna's bow. 5 or 6 powerful fighters came up to support Karna, but Arjuna slew them all. The Pandava drew his bow back to his ear and fired 4 steel shafts that kill Karna's horses. With another powerful arrow, he struck Karna on the breast, making a sound like an explosion. The arrow pierced Karna's armor and penetrated into his body. He lost consciousness and fell sideways in his chariot, whereupon he was quickly taken into another chariot by his charioteer and carried away. Arjuna and Bhumanjaya scoffed at the defeated Karna. Arjuna then looked around and said, "Take me to the place where you see the emblem of the golden Palmyra. There stands our grandfather, Shantanu's son, looking like an immortal. He too desires to fight with me." Bhumanjaya was exhausted. Gasping for breath, he replied, "I do not think I can continue guiding your horses. My mind is confounded and my limbs are weak. It seems as if the 4 quarters are melting from the power of the celestial weapons you and the Kurus have released. I am beside myself with the sight and smell of flesh and blood. I have never before seen such a battle. The clamor has deafened me, and I feel stupefied. The twang of the Gandiva, like repeated thunderclaps, and your lightning bolt arrows have rent my heart. I am consumed by fear. It appears as if the earth is shifting before my eyes, and I am losing my vitality." Arjuna consoled the prince. "You are a prince in the Matsya line. It is your sacred duty to face the enemy in battle. Take heart, for you will find strength in the supreme power. The Lord is always pleased when we perform our prescribed duties with firmness and determination. Guide the horses for only a little while longer. I wish to face the grandsire in battle." The prince felt heartened, and he urged the steeds forward. As the chariot moved across the battlefield toward Bhishma's chariot, Arjuna continued, "This battle will not last much longer. The Kuru army is reeling like a wheel under the force of my weapons. I will make a river flow toward the other world, with blood for its waters, chariots for its eddies, and elephants for its aquatics." The Kuru forest, with heads, arms, and tall backs for its branches, will be cut down. I have obtained all the celestial weapons from the gods. Do not fear, O Prince, for I will rout the Kurus and put them to flight. When Arjuna got within striking distance of Bhishma, he sent a hail of shafts at him. Bhishma patiently countered his arrows, and four of Duryodhana's brothers came forward to protect him. Dushasan launched a fierce attack on Arjuna. He wounded Bhumanjaya with a large dart and pierced Arjuna's breast with another. Arjuna at once sent golden wing arrows, which cut Dushasan's bow to pieces and severely wounded him in the chest. Dushasan retreated, leaving his three brothers to fight with Arjuna. Each of them were similarly injured and had to retreat. At Bhishma's command, thousands of Kuru troops surrounded Arjuna and assailed him. The Pandava spun around in his chariot with his bow constantly drawn in a circle. Sometimes he shot with his left hand, and sometimes with his right arm. Blazing arrows went in all directions, and the Kuru force was torn apart. Arjuna appeared in battle like the scorching midday sun with its unbearable rays. Kuru heroes leapt down from their cars and fled, throwing aside their weapons. Horsemen turned and drove their horses away in terror. The Kurus retreated with difficulty, falling over the bodies of men, elephants, and horses. Duryodhana, Karna, Kripa, Drona, and Ashvatthama then rushed toward Arjuna together. They covered him with so many arrows that no part of his body was visible. Even amid that onslaught, Arjuna maintained his calm and invoked the Adindrastra, summoning the fire god's invincible power. That weapon sent hundreds of thousands of flaming arrows and darts at the Kurus and drove them back. Arjuna then saw Bhishma standing before him on his chariot. Ganga's son was smiling. In his shining coat of mail, he shone like a white mountain at sunrise. He lifted his gold-plated bow and fired a dozen arrows, which struck the roaring monkey on Arjuna's banner. Pushing aside the affection he felt for the old Kuru leader, Arjuna sent a huge dart, which broke down the white umbrella over his head. He quickly followed it with arrows that severed his flagstaff and killed the two warriors protecting his flanks. Arjuna wounded Bhishma's horses and brought his chariot to a halt. Bhishma became angry, and he began to invoke divine weapons. A massive hail of arrows, darts, and spears fell blazing from the sky. Arjuna instantly checked his attack with his own celestial missiles. He counterattacked Bhishma with volumes of arrows that sped toward him. Bhishma received Arjuna's assault like a hill receives a cloud. He dexterously cut down all the arrows as they flew, and they fell to pieces on the ground. The battle between Arjuna and Bhishma raged fiercely for some time, as the Kurus watched in amazement. It seemed as if Indra were contending with Bali, the Asura king. Neither side paused in the fight. Arjuna's Gandiva had become a circle of fire, and Bhishma danced on his chariot like a youth. Finally, Arjuna succeeded in baffling Bhishma with a weapon that sent an uncountable number of golden wing arrows in repeated waves. Bhishma fell back in his chariot, and seeing this opportunity, Arjuna severed his bow with a razor-faced arrow. Immediately after that, he shot 10 steel shafts with heads shaped like calves' teeth. Those deadly arrows pierced Bhishma's breast. The Kuru chief was stunned, and he stood leaning on the pole of his chariot for some time. Seeing him senseless, his charioteer turned the chariot and carried him away. Most of the Kuru army had been overpowered, and if not slain, had fled. Only a few of the heroes still stood on the battlefield. Duryodhana, burning with anger and humiliation, brought his chariot before Arjuna. He threw a golden dart that struck Arjuna on the forehead. Blood gushed from his wound, and the son of Kunti looked like a mountain, giving forth a stream of red lava. Arjuna struck Duryodhana with arrows that stung like poisonous snakes. The two cousins fought furiously, using all their martial skill. Duryodhan's brother Vikarna came to support him on an elephant. He drove the beast toward Arjuna's chariot, intending to crush him underfoot. But Arjuna bent the Gandiva into a full circle and fired an iron arrow that hit the elephant on the forehead. The arrow penetrated the elephant's head up to the feathers, and the beast fell screaming to the ground. Vikarna leapt clear, and terrified, ran a full 800 paces to his brother Vivingsati's chariot. Arjuna released a similar arrow that struck Duryodhan full on the chest. The Kaurava prince fell to his knees and vomited blood, his shining armor bent and pierced. Seeing himself standing alone against Arjuna, Duryodhan ordered his charioteer to retreat. Arjuna laughed and called after him, "Why do you flee, O hero? How are you renouncing your fame and glory? Why are your trumpets not blown in the same way as they were when you first left Hastinapur? Know me to be Yudhisthira's obedient servant and Kunti's third son. Remembering the conduct of kings, turn back and show me your face, O mighty armed one." Duryodhan and his brothers continued to flee. They completely abandoned their attempts to steal the Matsya's wealth. Remembering his promise to the Matsya ladies, Arjuna went around the battlefield and took the costly robes from the fallen Kuru warriors. As they made their way back to the city, Arjuna said, "You are the only person who is aware of my true identity. It may be wise for you to keep this information secret for a little while longer. You should tell your father that it was you who routed the Kurus." Arjuna wanted to wait for Yudhisthira to decide the exact moment for them to reveal their identities. Understanding this, Bhumanjaya replied, "I would not have had the power to achieve what you achieved today, O Svayaschin, but I will not disclose your identity until you give me your permission." Arjuna had the prince take the chariot back to the cremation ground. When they arrived, Arjuna folded his palms toward Hanuman on his banner. The monkey flew up into the sky and vanished, and Arjuna hoisted the prince's lion banner again. He replaced his weapons in the bundle high in the Sami tree. Then, taking his place as the chariot driver, they headed back toward the city.